You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, and ostensibly, I suppose, is the last day of the week because anyone worth his or her salt are not going to be in on Friday. And one of those people worth their salt is Skulklow, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. You know what, Skulk, it's been one of those days where you think to yourself, do you want to go long into the long weekend, or do you want to go short into the long weekend, or do you not want to do anything? I don't know. It's got a very, very strange sort of Damocles feel about it, the market. What do you think?
Yeah, you're luring me into a trap here.
Here we go.
I know where this is going.
Oh, you mean I'm going to have another bet with you? No, never do that. Not after your two previous disastrous results. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you. And whatever you're going to go, you're going to say, I'm going to back you because I don't have the best track record to get up betting against Lindsay hashtag. Lindsay, I must say, I look at the markets and I'm uncomfortable. I keep on being uncomfortable. It's you can see the movement on the US this morning for them.
Yes,
it's not really, you know, it's directionless. You can see it's don't want to, you know, go stronger. We're looking at the Dow. It's currently down, let's call it 35 basis points. You have S&P 500 down over 50 basis points. It's called 60 basis points. And NASDAQ over 1%. So if you held a gun against my head and said, yeah, Skulk, we need to take a bet and we need to take a bet again, then I would naturally, you know, be inclined to be, you know, short at current levels. I do think the markets are uncomfortable. I think one of the best quotes this week is we need the kids, you know, to in the US to stay, you know, stay at home again, you know, due to COVID, because we need them to churn their Robin Hood accounts. So, yeah, I think we do see a market that's currently not really, you know, going into any direction. And South Africa is no different this morning. I mean, we looked at the market that was looking stronger. But you can see the latter part of the day, yeah, it's not looking too good. I mean, 1.8% of the market. If you subtract the Rand's movement today, you know, it's been an iffy day.
Yeah, it has. I mean, that Rand story is quite a big one, because apart from the bet that we had, which was one of the easiest cases of beer I've ever won in my life.
And most probably quickest there as well.
Oh, exactly. Easiest and quickest. No, but seriously, it was 16.10 a week ago, and now it's gone to 17.10. And 100 basis points is very big. And although it's not surprising that it's at 17, but what is a little bit unusual, and again, not maybe as unusual as we've known in the past, but it's certainly disruptive. And in other words, as I keep on saying, it doesn't allow people to plan forward. If you're an importer, if you're an exporter, if you're an investor in Rand hedge stocks or a disinvestor in Rand hedge stocks, when the Rand moves from 16 to 17, let's call it those big round numbers, then it sort of, as I said, disrupts your life.
You're 100% right. I mean, it's literally a week ago when we were looking at this let's call it 16 Rand level.
Yes.
And, you know, it's quite interesting looking, you know, at that poll we ran on Twitter. You know, everybody was sort of going to think this is the turn. I mean, I reckon it was something like 70% of the let's call it close to 200 people that you know, followed the poll, you know, said that they do agree that the Rand will go stronger from those levels.
Yes.
A week later, we're looking at 17 to the dollar. This is not good. And I think the worst thing for me, Lindsay, is the fact that this is not really, you know, just only Rand, or let's call it dollar strength, because on something like a USD ZAR, which we bet on, there's two things. It's the one part is the Rand part, and the other part is the US part. And I do think that when I look forward, I still believe that the US part, or let's call it the US dollar, could come under pressure. I've done an article which will be released, I think, next week, where I look at this whole Trump Biden thing, and I don't want to, you know, go into a betting, you know, phase on that side either, because I think this can pretty much go either way.
Yeah.
All that I did is I said, well, let's just look at what will happen if Biden actually do, you know, win this election. And suddenly, you know, as you start dissecting it, as you start looking at it, you come to the realization that, you know, this could really put the US dollar under further pressure, you know, under a lot of pressure. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Is it because, you know, Trump is bad and Biden is good, or, you know, vice versa, that the dollar should weaken? The fact is, no. They've got a totally different management style. You know, Biden made it clear that if the Democrats should be, you know, winning this election, we will be looking at, you know, corporate taxes that should increase. That naturally, you know, make, you know, U.S. companies a little bit more, let's call it, not unattractive, but just to competitively, they could put these valuations under some pressure.
This is a very, very difficult situation that we've got here, because and if I can use the analogy of what happened in 2016, was it that long ago? Yes, it was 2016. I stayed up like an idiot all night watching the results coming in of that last general election in the United States, or presidential election. And I saw Trump, as soon as they knew that Trump would win, the Dow Jones futures had fallen by more than 1,000 points. They fell because everyone said, how can you have this human being, or this gross derivative of a human being in charge of the world's biggest economy? But then suddenly it turned around, and before you knew it, it was up 1,000 points. And so I think that when we get to, you know, November the 3rd and the days afterwards, because it'll be a different election because of the postal ballot situation, we won't know where on earth we are, and that'll be disruptive for markets. So it's going to be very, very difficult to call. Do you go with Trump because he's low on taxes and loves Wall Street, or do you go with Biden because he's a normal human being? It's so difficult, Skulk.
Yeah, I think that you just nailed it on its head, because you keep on asking the question, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Now, Warren Buffett had a very well-known saying where he said the stock market is a device for transferring money from the impatient to the patient. Okay, so in essence, you know, why do anything? You know, we know the election, if it all goes to plan, is going to be the 3rd of November. You know, so we're looking at pretty much, you know, a little bit more than a month. If you need to take any big investments now with a run-up to the 3rd of November, you're betting. You're doing pretty much what I've done and done twice, you know, with you and lost. And I would really say, be patient. I think this is the type of environment where, you know, just see what happens, because you're 100% right. I mean, when that happened, that was a total collapse in the U.S. market when Trump was appointed. And you're talking about, you know, 1,000 points, you know, a few days later. I'm looking at 4 years later now, looking at one of the strongest bull markets the U.S. has ever experienced in its life. So, yeah, I do think that where we are currently, if you look at their debt levels, the U.S. debt levels, you look at the stimulus, the amount of stimulus, the amount of money that was printed, I am uncomfortable. I'm seriously uncomfortable. You know, how are they going to unravel this? You know, it's all good and well saying we will just print money. Let's just try and get these unemployment, you know, figures down. Somewhere along the line, this let's call it debt will need to be repaid.
Yes, and one of the most significant events of the last couple of weeks since we spoke last, in fact, I think it was. But anyway, whenever it was when the U.S. Federal Reserve came out with their pronouncements, and they left interest rates unchanged, of course, and they said they're going to keep interest rates low until 2023. I think it was. But the market just says, we know that. We want more. We need more. It's like that film. What was that film, Scrooge, where the little boy goes up and says, I want more. And
may I have some more, please?
Yes, I want more. And it was played by Harry Secombe, who is a very famous English actor, and he was one of the three goons. And he said, more? And it's almost as though the market is saying, yes, I want more all the time. And that was, to me, a very key moment in the 2020 year, which has been a very key year. Okay, I'm exhausted now. What about the South African market? What happened today?
Well, okay, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, we're looking at all share that increased 1.84%, you know, for today.
It was Oliver Twist. Sorry, it was Oliver Twist, not Scrooge. Sorry,
not Scrooge. Yeah, yeah, You're 100% right. So just to put it in perspective, if you look at a rand-dollar movement for today, we looked at a rand-dollar that actually decreased in its value, 1.5%, or the rand decreased its value 1.5%. Our market is so, you know, rand hedged currently that, you know, when we look at this, let's call it 1.8% day, and we subtract 1.5%, we'd be looking at a pretty much, you know, square day. And what is disappointing, you know, to get back to the rand, you know, what is disappointing, I think this is, as I mentioned, this is not dollar, this is not dollar weakness. This is rand weakness. You know, again, another day, yes, that I'm comparing, you know, if we subtract, you know, or take out the Mexican peso out of this equation, let's call it 2.4% decrease for them. You know, we've seen that, again, we've been the worst performing emerging market currency for today. And that was yesterday. We were the worst performing currency, emerging market currency by far. Today, Brazilian real, they second, 1.4% down. If we move down, you know, Russian ruble, you know, 0.7% down. India, you know, pretty much square for today. China, 50 basis points down. Korea, 50 basis points down. Taiwan, you know, 40 basis points down. So just to put in perspective that this is rand weakness.
Yeah.
And this is bad. This is bad.
It's been rand weakness for 7 to 10 trading days, actually, independent rand weakness versus dollar strength. I mean, there's been some dollar strength. Of course there has been. But the rand has underperformed versus the US dollar and versus a basket of emerging market currencies. And that is slightly disturbing because that tells you that people are disinvesting from South Africa. It doesn't matter what anybody says. They're selling South Africa. They're selling their shares. And therefore, if they sell their shares, they have to repatriate their own currency. And you know what the story is. No, it's not good.
No, it's seven working days, or it's called 7 days left, you know, until October. And, you know, we all know that the previous 40 months, you know, up to the end of August, you know, we've seen or experienced net foreign sellers in our equity market. So, you know, we pretty much got 7 days left to see, you know, not see a 15th month. And I must say, the way it's currently going, currently, you know, as we see disinvestment from South Africa, I can't foresee that changing soon. So by the looks of it, we're going to have a 15th month in a row, you know, of net foreign sellers in South African equities. And, you know, what can you say? This is naturally not good.
No, it's not good. Let's talk about good things, though, because we're going into a long weekend, and a long weekend implies people going traveling or staying at home and having a braai, a barbecue, whatever you want to call it. I've been talking to a couple of people today about South African tourism, and I know the borders are opening up, and I think this is a massive, massive opportunity, because let me tell you, I live in the Netherlands, and people don't want to go to France, they don't want to go to Spain, they don't want to go to Belgium, and so they want to go somewhere else. And if you open up the borders in South Africa, which I think you are on October the 1st, then there will be a massive, massive influx of people. And you know what, Skull? You sent me this picture. Well, you didn't send me, you send all your thousands of Twitter followers a picture of a hiking trail that you and your wife were on. I think it was on Saturday or Sunday, the last weekend. It was absolutely beautiful. We don't quite realise the natural resources we have. So let's get people in to enjoy that. I mean, you're loving Hermanus, aren't you?
I love Hermanus. I must admit, I had a most beautiful lunch again this afternoon, and the whales, you know, so if you're contemplating, thinking maybe I should get in my car and drive through to Hermanus, just do it without a doubt. It is wonderful this time of the year.
With the whales breaching and everything and mucking about as they normally do.
Playing around like I haven't seen them play around like they've been doing. It's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, but to get back to your point, you're 100% right. I mean, Lindsay, we need to get this economy back on track. Yes. We are let's call it a tourist-driven country, and you know, very similar. We had this conversation off air. You know, I was talking to you, say, well, let's just buy yourself a ticket now. Come down, because I know you're going to be sorry, you know, you know, come December when it's minus 10 degrees in Rotterdam.
No, I'm going to do so. Don't worry about that. Of all the countries in the world, I would say it's the most geographically diverse and also the most interesting and the most challenging and all the other adjectives you want to use. It's an incredible place. And I think that because it's been boxed up for so long, and it's been boxed up for, what, 6-7 months now, it's going to explode once it reopens, especially given what's happening in Europe at the moment.
Correct. And, you know, people want to, they want to normalize. They want to move back. I watched a few presentations or webinars over the past 2-3 days. And I think at least three of the presenters, you know, mentioned, you know, I know they're talking about this is the new normal, but we as presenters, you know, we as portfolio managers, we as investment advisors, we can't wait to get back, interact with our clients, interact with our friends, interact with other people. And I think that's where we are now. We need that interaction to learn from each other, to grow from each other. I'm excited. I must say I'm excited. You know, I do think that you know, we're sitting in an environment where we tend to focus on all the negatives. You know, we're sitting with a currency that's not currently working. We're sitting with net outflows out of our country, but man, we've got a lot going for us.
Yes, we have. Okay, on the upside, let's go back to less important matters. In other words, the JSE Securities Exchange, where Cartrack today, after a trading statement, rallied on the close to be up nearly 9.5%. Itel Tal up 6.8%. Coronation Fund Managers up 5.5%. Naspers up 5.1%. What a move there. We didn't even mention that, but tourism is far more important today than Naspers. Hammerson down nearly 9%, was up 11% at one stage today. It's all over the place, that thing. Redefine, another property company, down 4.5%. Harmony, the gold company, down 3.6%. Suntam down 3.4%. And AECI down 3.1%. Give us the closing indices, if you would, Skulk.
So the market, as I mentioned earlier, closed up 1.8% at 54,248. The resource index, they were a little bit under pressure with let's call it platinums and gold, still down. I think only palladium was a little bit stronger today. So that was up 1.1%. We look at the industrial index, 3.3% stronger. And the financial index with the weaker rand, only 20 basis points stronger for today. I also think one of the shares that actually stood out, I think on the upside, if I'm not mistaken, was also Rainbow Chickens. I think they also had a wonderful day. I've tried to find out what's the story behind that, I see. That was quite a movement. I mean, the one moment it's trading 5.90, and the next moment it's trading 6.80. So I think that was just a wide double.
Okay, on a thin day. And what was the trading value today?
So trading value on the JSE for today was it was 19 billion, so just shy of the 20 billion. Very slow as well, because I mean yesterday we had a 17.6 billion day. Day before that we had a, you know, also shy of 18 billion day. So it's actually quite interesting to see, you know, over the last, let's call it, six trading days, we've only had, you know, two of them being beyond the 20 billion. So yeah, I think we've been the market. It's not really attracting the big flows.
Okay, but we should be attracted to places like Hermanus and other places as well that I've been speaking about. So please retweet those pictures that you sent out a couple of days ago. And also,
I will do so.
How do we get hold of you, Skulk?
Yeah, the easiest way to get hold of me is I'm available on all social medias. You know, so when you do social media, Twitter is at Skulk Lowe. Pretty much the same on LinkedIn. It's at Skulk Lowe. You can always email me at skulk.lowe@psg.co.za. But yeah, just interact. It'd be great to hear from everybody and to talk about. Yeah, we need to make up back our money on the rant, Lindsay.
Yeah, we do. I fear it won't be the case. But anyway, Skulk, thank you very much for your time and have a lovely long weekend. We'll speak next week on Wednesday. And Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.